So that's only in the last 2 years that regulators have finally started talking and been able to communicate what is expected of the third party in the world of HIPAA. We know in 2 years ago, when the GDPR went into effect, that there's a processor liability for not assisting the controller. There's an entire article built around what obligations the third party service provider or vendor must do in order to assist the controller to comply with the GDPR. And that was one of the early signs that no longer will the actual controller of data be the only victim or person obligated or company obligated to comply with cybersecurity controls. Next came the California Consumer Privacy Act. We've seen that there are strict contract requirements for what is expected of a service provider and or a third party with regard to any of those actors that have access to consumer data. And then finally, a little more than a little while ago, I believe in 2015, the New York Department of Financial Services actually was one of the leading states to impose cybersecurity regulations over third parties that work with financial institutions or any covered entity in that law that provide financial services. So even if you were a vendor in Plano, Texas, you were required to comply with New York State's controls over cybersecurity when it came to accessing the data that's regulated by that law. The industries that have seen, you know, third-party regulation has also exploded. As we mentioned, the first law that really had to deal with these third-party laws was in the healthcare industry. But as time goes by, we notice that the regulatory agencies are putting more and more of a burden on the vendors and service providers. For example, the Department of Energy, especially in last year, in March of 2020, issued a guidance to members or any entity that's covered by FERPA that has recommendations for how to evaluate a technology vendor. And we know there were many who came to the rescue of various industries when we had to bridge the gap between being in the office and being in front of our client or being in the classroom and being in front of our students. So the Department of Energy itself, through its Privacy Technical Assistance Center, recommended best practices on how to evaluate these vendors before signing a contract. And more recently, in the area of employee benefits, specifically ERISA plans, the Department of Labor just recently issued cybersecurity guidance for best practices related to the third-party administrators, and that would be those companies that take care of the records related to all the plan participants. We see that that is just the beginning, and that regulations from the Department of Labor regulating third-party and regulating cybersecurity control over ERISA plans is just right around the corner. Again, in the financial services industry, while not yet there are not yet any regulations. We know that securities brokers and dealers are dealing with FINRA and the SEC and various guidances that have been issued for best practices on how to manage vendor risk. So with all of these legal developments and business developments, as we continue to model and outsource various of our either our data protection or other services that involve the data we collect, has been a huge increase in risk. And what I'd like to do now is sort of get out of the way. I'm going to continue to stay involved in this conversation, but I really wanted to bring to you today the experts on the panel and the people who've actually been in the battles so they can share some of the stories of the consequences of this increased risk in dealing with the third party? And then later, Gary, when we finally go to you, how do you manage that risk? And also stay current with all the regulations and best practices and guidances that have been issued. So I'm going to turn it first over to Alan. And Alan, you can feel free to stray from this slide if you and just jump in and talk about some of the third-party data breaches you've seen and lessons learned.
Yeah, thanks, Elizabeth. So I was actually on a webinar earlier this week, and a statement was made that if a hacker wants to attack a big company with good security, they don't attack the big company anymore. They attack the third party, right? So you can look at the list here and you can see that either these companies were the third party or were attacked by a third party. Here we are in 2021. We still talk about the target breach on a consistent basis, right? A phishing email was sent to a third party. They gained credentials. They were then able to get into the system. And ultimately, I think the final number was 110 million people's information was stolen from Target. While it wasn't the biggest breach, or the most serious breach as far as what information was taken, it actually was a historic breach because it was the first time in history that a CEO lost their job because of a breach, because they didn't have controls in place. Recent statistics show about 50% of companies don't perform third-party risk assessments, which is kind of mind-blowing to me. It's something that's actually really easy, but they just choose not to do it because when they sign the contract with that third party, the third party says, yep, I have endpoint protection in place, I have encryption, I have this, but they actually don't look at those.